We are now ready to officially announce that the ninth stage show by the Reduced Shakespeare Company, by Reed Martin and myself, Austin Tischner, will be...
Wait. Play the musical theme first.
Okay.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Tischner, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 329, History of Comedy.
So yes, the new show will be the complete History of Comedy abridged. And I can see the reviews now. It's about time. They've added some comedy to their shows.
That's right. Yes. A regular Yuck Fest. You know, it's something we know a little something about.
Oh, I like a regular Yuck Fest.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah. And it was officially announced today being the day that the podcast is posted.
That's right.
You could be hearing this years from now, and it wouldn't be today.
No.
But for the two of you who are listening today, the RSC will premiere the show in November and December at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. This is the third time we've performed at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. We premiered, or I guess workshopped, all the great books there on the big stage in... summer of 2002?
I think that's right, yeah.
I think that's right. And then we went back and we played the Shelter House for about 7 weeks doing all the great books once it was finished in rep with the Complete History of America abridged.
That's right.
And during that run is when I lost one of my vocal cords through a virus. It was a long story.
So let's not have that happen again.
No, we'll try not to have that happen. And so, yeah, and so we're going to be there early November until late December in the Shelter House.
Well, and it's so great to be back in Cincinnati because it's the theater is fantastic. We had such a great time performing there. And just the little village there atop Mount Adams is such a great little enclave of arts and funky folk.
Absolutely. And we will contribe to the funkiness.
Yeah.
And the staff there is great. So we are very, very excited. So,
and how did it happen that we're going to Cincinnati? We have a reputation. We have a relationship with Ed Stern going back many, many years. But Ed Stern, of course, has left Cincinnati. But so now there's a new sheriff in town, Blake Robison. And how did we come to do the show there?
Well, we were kicking around what the ideas might be for the new show, and we sort of settled on what we thought it would be, and we contacted various artistic directors around the country and said, hey, we're looking for a place where we would like to premiere our new show.
And you sent it, I don't know, about 30 artistic directors. You sent an email out there.
Yeah.
And you got a great return. You got about half of them. You always think in a mailing, well, if I get 10% people responding to me. But you got about 50% of people responding to you and responding positively about the idea of the RSC doing a show about the history of comedy.
Yeah. And Blake, you know, contacted us right away and wanted to talk on the phone. And, you know, he's just taken over recently. Ed Stern had left. And I'd heard that Blake was coming in, but I didn't know Blake.
Okay.
But Michael Haney is still there as the assistant, associate artistic director. So I emailed Michael and said, you know, it's been a while, but, you know, we'd love to come back, and here's what we're thinking. And he sent me a nice email back. He said, well, thank you for this. Let me share it with Blake. Sometimes, you know, the artistic director changes, and they have different people that they like to work with and things that they know, and we understand that. So we're flattered that he said, no, I really like this idea, and we always try to do something fun at Christmas time in the Shelter House, which is their smaller theater, and, you know, can you tell me what you're thinking about the show? And it's also kind of a leap of faith because the way we work is the show is booked before it's written, because theaters book 12, 18, even more months ahead. And so it was like, well, we want to deconstruct the history and practice of comedy. We think that comedy is underappreciated, and we would like to do what Penn and Teller did for magic, which is, you know, the real magicians are furious. Oh, they're revealing all the secrets. But of course they reveal the secrets, and then they do something magical at the end, which they don't reveal. And you go, oh man, I thought they told us how everything works, and then, oh no, they didn't totally explain everything. And so And to be honest, it's a point of view we've had for a long time.
Yeah.
Why does Anna Paquin and Renee Zellweger have acting Oscars, but Charlie Chaplin never won an he won an honorary one, but he never won an acting Oscar.
Yeah.
Laurel and Hardy, Groucho Marx, Buster Keaton.
Yeah.
On and on and on. And so I think comedy's underappreciated because everybody thinks they can tell a joke, so how to any monkey can do it, and we prove that pretty much every night. but anyway, so that's the comedy through history, and how does comedy work? What are the mechanics of comedy?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that the challenge for me is going to be to keep the chip on my shoulder out of the writing of the show and out of the same feeling that comedy is underappreciated, because everybody thinks they can do comedy. Everybody thinks they could do it. You know, it doesn't get the awards. It doesn't get the Oscars. It doesn't get the record. And that's not really true. But everybody thinks they could do it. I think it starts from the original fart joke. Everybody thinks, you know, everybody farts. So everybody thinks they're a comedian.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and you know, the cavemen telling rock jokes.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
What's funny in different cultures, you know, in Japan, they like to torture game show contestants. That's very funny. In England, the men like to dress up like women.
Right.
That's very funny. In France, Jerry Lewis. I don't know.
Sure.
And then you think, well, okay, what do people consider to be the funniest nationality? Mm. Well, the stereotype is, you know, Jewishness. You know.
I was going to say Germans, obviously.
Yes. Well, how come the least funny culture tried to exterminate the funniest one? I don't know.
Yeah, what
That's
the hell?
Not right.
Well, they were jealous.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's nothing but jealousy.
The other thing for me is, in writing the show, for me, all of our shows are the complete history of comedy. We bring that to bear in all of our shows, whether it's American history or literature or the movies or whatever it is, or sports. We are always bringing all of the weapons in our comic arsenal, highbrow, lowbrow, you know, a smart joke, dick jokes, falling down, verbal patter, puns.
Comedy songs,
parody songs, pantomime bits. Mm-hmm. So for me, the challenge is going to be now that I'm actually writing about comedy. So what's the subtext of that?
Mm-hmm.
In our other shows, I'm writing about history, so the subtext is comic,
right?
You know, so I'm trying to make the subtext the text, which is a weird sort of challenge. One of the models that we're both you mentioned Penn and Teller, which is a great model. But one of the other models that we've been talking about is Bill Irwin's shows, the great clown who also studied with Ringling Brothers, just like you.
Just like me.
But he wrote The Regard of Flight.
Yeah, that I find very inspirational.
Yeah. It's inspirational. What I like about it so much is that, and this is a funny thing, and I think this will be interesting in terms of how our show develops, Regard of Flight starts very quietly.
Mm-hmm.
And has many quiet moments. This feels like the history of comedy show feels like it might be similar to that, which is also similar to our complete history of America abridged, in that it's a kind of we're in a comic classroom a little bit. I mean, I'm saying this even though the script, it's March right now and we're not doing the show in Cincinnati until November, so this could change, but that's kind of what we're thinking along right now.
Well, and I think, like the history of America, we have a bee in our bonnet for no reason. We're insulted by this letter from a little girl named Amy, and I think what kickstarts this show is we get a bee in our bonnet. You know, nobody appreciates comedy.
Yeah.
They all think, yeah, tragedy is really hard and comedy is really easy. Well, maybe they're similar in difficulty, but comedy is underappreciated.
Yeah, that's true. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. For me, tragedy is a much overrated genre. You know, it's just like I don't want to see that. Everything goes to hell, really?
Jane hates movies where everything goes to hell, or plays, because you know, that feels like life.
Well, yes. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. But also, it's like, it just feels like, how is that? What do we learn from that? I guess I'm just not sure what we learn from tragedy. And this is my natural bent, so, right. I'm not sure what I'm going to say. Please, if somebody out there is a professional tragedian and could let me know, here's what we learn from tragedy, I would really genuinely, sincerely love to hear that. But comedy seems some more elevating. I mean, this is obviously I would think that because that's what I do.
Yeah. Well, and also, I think I'll go see a movie and I'm just bored and I sit there quietly.
Mm-hmm.
A serious movie.
Yeah.
So I'm bored and I sit there quietly, or it's brilliant and I sit there quietly. But how do you know? Some people say, well, there's rustling or whatever in the audience.
Right.
Comedy, it's measurable.
Yeah.
They are laughing or they aren't.
It's quantifiable.
People say, oh, that's funny. Well, then that's another part of the show, I think. The difference between amusing and funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yes, there's no doubt. They're laughing or they're not. And then I think there's probably a thing about, and we've all had critics who say, well, the audience is rolling in the aisles, but this show isn't funny. Well, if the audience is cracking up, it is funny. It may not be your taste, but if everybody's laughing, it's funny.
That's another bee in my bonnet. Critics.
Critics. Our favorite swear word. Critic.
Hello. As far as I know, I'm Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSE? Next week, we begin our 12-week tour of Great Britain with the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, which will also play in London at the Leicester Square Theatre in July 2013. And in the U.S., we'll perform the complete world of sports abridged in Moorhead, Minnesota, State College, Pennsylvania, and Urbana, Illinois. We'll also have information about other shows and other countries where we'll be performing later this spring. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
I think there's comic hay to be made out of Henri Bergson's famous essay about comedy and Sigmund Freud and jokes and the relationship to the subconscious, and that sort of goes back to the intellectualization of comedy.
Well said.
Thank you.
Well, this is also the danger of a show like this, is that the famous line, it's Mark Twain, analyzing comedy is like dissecting a frog. You can do it, but the frog tends to die.
Right.
And so that's why our show wants not to be a dead frog.
No, not at all. And that's another reason I find Regard of Flight inspirational.
Yeah.
Because he's talking about the way comedy is made, but not in a dry, boring way, in a fun, exciting way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing too is that when we're talking about you sit there quietly in a drama, whether it's good or bad, but in a comedy, you want people to laugh. In our stage shows, we want a large response. There is nothing wrong with being amusing, but it's not good when you're sitting there in an auditorium full of 300 to 500 people, and they're all sitting there smiling quietly.
Right.
You want them laughing uproariously, which means that there are a lot of jokes that we like to do, the kinds of throwaway jokes that we like to do, but they're not suitable for our stage shows. So we throw them into tweets, or we throw them onto Facebook, or we put them in a podcast, and people can smile and enjoy it, but there isn't that feeling of letdown where you're sitting in 300 other people going, oh, yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, you said you've worked with a guy, a director, who in rehearsal something would come up, and he'd laugh hysterically. He'd go, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not funny.
Yes, and I think that's absolutely a false intellectualization of what comedy is. Now, in his defense, maybe he was just going, that's not the kind of show I wanted to be.
And I'll buy that.
And I'll buy that, too. But unfortunately, that's the kind of show I want to see. not the kind of show where everybody sits there and strokes their chins and goes, that's funny.
Well, Billy Crystal on Inside the Actor's Studio, he was saying, comedy is the ultimate trial and error.
Mm.
He was talking particularly about stand-up, but it's true of our shows, vaudevillian shows.
Yeah.
You write stuff, and it's trial and error. We'll put it up. Does it make us laugh when we read it? Does it make us laugh in rehearsal? But ultimately, is the audience laughing?
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, it is not funny.
Well, and that's what's helped us so much in the writing process of this will be yours and my 8th collaboration on a complete abridged script, although it'll be the company's 9th production. And we've learned over the years, we don't need to argue about whether it's funny or not. We'll know very, very quickly. And there are times every now and then we'll try something and we didn't get something, and one of us will go, yeah, but I didn't do it right. I want to give it one more shot.
It's in the wrong, and this is another part of the show, it's in the wrong spot in the show.
Yes, yes. But or we have
it might be funny if a different scene precedes it.
Right. And that's something, too, where we've done something funny and we go, oh, that's great, we'll move it. And we move it, and it doesn't do as well. And we go, we'll put it back. Now, the Shelter House is a great little venue, but it's difficult in a certain way for visual gags.
Yeah, because it's a thrust. There's audience on three sides, so it's and very much on three sides. It's a square stage, and so reveals. It's hard to reveal a visual joke where everybody sees it at the same time. It has to be way upstage. On the other hand, I think the whole theater is only about 8 or 10 rows deep.
Yeah.
So we can get to everybody, which is great.
Well, it is great, and it's also the kind of comedy that I really like, where it's just so small. It's like you're watching a movie, except the actors are right there. That's what's great about venues like the Shelter House at the Playhouse, because it's just so the actors don't have to be big to make the joke work.
Yeah,
you don't even have to be that loud to make the joke work.
No, not at all. So it'll be great, and we're there for I think 7 1/4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, we're looking forward to it. What we hope to do with the show is answer all the questions. You know, is laughter the best medicine? And is it covered by Obamacare? We don't know. But we intend to find out.
It better be.
Oh, it better be. Yes.
It is, and it better be.
Yeah. Is Molière funny? Why not? Right?
And why are Shakespeare's comedies not as funny as his tragedies?
Yes. Well, and then and comedy through history. I mean, the classic comedy hundreds of years ago always ended with a marriage, mm-hmm. whereas today most marriages end in tragedy. So things have changed over the years. And for those of you who don't live in the middle of the country, we can't say where, but we're in talks that later in spring of 2014 we might be somewhere on the East Coast for a month. But we can't say where, but don't give up hope.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your new comedies via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, master tragedian Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Sonia Smith. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Blake Robinson, Michael Haney, Buzz Ward, and all the folks at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. We are very much looking forward to being back there again. Special thanks also to Weird Al Yankovic, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 329 987ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Well, since the Cincinnati Playhouse has booked the show, Complete History of Comedy, we should probably start writing it.
That's a very good idea.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.